Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a prospective Republican candidate for president in 2016, Governor Christie of New Jersey, who is desperately trying to head off a growing political scandal by issuing profuse apologies at a press conference after having fired his top aides. David Redlawsk, a polling expert and professor of political science at Rutgers University, who directs the Rutgers Eagleton poll, joins us to discuss how Christie can recover his greatest political asset as a straight-talking bipartisan problem solver when his closest aides indulged in such petty partisan and problem-causing gridlock that is now under investigation. Then we'll look into the controversial new memoir by Robert Gates, Duty, Memoirs of a Secretary at War, that criticizes both President Obama and Vice President Biden's handling of the Afghan War. Melvin Goodman, a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, who was one of three CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as CIA director, joins us. We will discuss Gates' trashing of his former boss while Obama is still in the White House, and Mel Goodman's article at Consortium News, Robert Gates' Narcissistic Duty. Then finally, we will speak with a former United Nations political officer in Afghanistan, Christine Fair, who is a professor in the Center of Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University. We will discuss the uptick in the capital flight out of Afghanistan as the Afghan elite hedge their bets prior to NATO's withdrawal from a country the U.S. has sacrificed lives and treasure to stabilize. We will also discuss Robert Gates' defense of the failed counterinsurgency strategy he championed with the much-trumpeted surge. And joining us now is David Redlawsk, a polling expert and professor of political science at Rutgers University. He is the co-author of Why Iowa, How Caucuses and Sequential Elections Improve the Presidential Nominating Process, and he also directs the Rutgers Eagleton poll. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Redlawsk.
Thanks.
And you've been polling on Governor Christie, and I imagine that given the scandal that's broken in the last couple of days and Governor Christie's press conference, his mea culpa, there may be some movements in the polls. What's your sense?
Yeah, we would expect there will be. What's been interesting about Governor Christie as a Republican in a Democratic state is that post the Hurricane Sandy hit that we took in New Jersey, his ratings have been sky high and have maintained that. He won his reelection handily by 22 points. Democrats, Republicans, Independents have all really been very positive about him, and in particular have liked his brand of leadership. The problem he's going to face with this is that he may appear to many people to have crossed the line, or at least his office, from strong leadership and, into bullying, basically, into taking things out on people who don't deserve it.
Well, but isn't it a deeper problem in as much as he has come across as a tough-talking, straight-talking, practical guy who gets things done, and he was seen with Obama at Hurricane Sandy's aftermath, and that message of I'm a guy that can work across the aisle is absolutely exploded by the petty partisanship of the actions that his staff took in closing down this bridge and causing all this mayhem just out of political retribution. This is the politics of Tony Soprano.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. One of the things that has been part of his national image has been this postpartisan thing, and the idea that meanwhile behind the scenes, the people closest to him are playing really the most petty partisan politics with really the lives of people in Fort Lee, New Jersey, is certainly going to be a serious, serious problem for the image that he's developed. There's no question this is the kind of scandal people can actually understand. They can get a handle on it. They can understand it. They can make sense of it. And I think the real problem he faces is he started off making light of it earlier or late last year, and only now is he coming to terms with how serious it is.
Well, he talked about it being a traffic study, right?
Right. Well, his claim now, of course, what he's telling us is that that's what his staff told him he was lied to by his staff. The problem for him on this may in fact be true, right? We don't right now have any evidence that links him directly, but that doesn't often matter. This is his main office. These are his most closest advisors, and these are people that I think a lot of people would say it's hard to imagine how they could be operating without his knowledge.
Well, he's already fired his close aide, Bridget Ann Kelly.
Yep.
And he's also fired his chief campaign guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
you know, so in that sense, yes, he's done part of what he has to do. And he also apologized. I cannot think of another time where Chris Christie has actually apologized for something. And that's going to get him somewhere along the line here. The real question is whether this is a drip, drip, drip kind of things. Is there still more to come? The guy at the center of the actual closing of the lanes, David Wildstein, refused to testify. I mean, he showed up but under subpoena, but he invoked his Fifth Amendment right to not testify. And the latest news is that the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Jersey is opening at least a preliminary investigation.
Again, I'm speaking with David Radulovsky, polling expert and professor of political science at Rutgers University. He's the co-author of Why Iowa? How Caucuses and Sequential Elections Improve the Presidential Nominating Process, and he directs the Rutgers Eagleton poll and has done extensive polling on Governor Chris Christie. And, of course, a new poll is yet to be done to see what kind of hit he's taken from this scandal, which, of course, David, has greater implications than the state of New Jersey because of the possibility that Chris Christie could be the Republican nominee for president in 2016. And as the head of the governors, the Republican governors, he's about to tour the country, is he not? So do you think he's going to still be dogged by questions?
I think he's going to be dogged at least for some period of time. The reality of running for president is that there are really two phases. The phase we're in right now, political scientists have called the invisible primary. It's really an effort to raise the money, to get the supporters, to get the key players in important primary and caucus states. It's not directly about the voters. The second phase, when voters weigh in, comes a little further down the road. So the biggest problem Christie's going to face in the near term is whether, Republican leaders, Republican money people worry about the damage that may have been caused. And we have to keep in mind that this is on top of recent claims, at least, that in the Romney vetting process, Christie was pushed aside because of a number of issues, some of which are unspecified in that story. But, so there may be more to come, and may simply be that folks who are going to fund these campaigns are going to look and say, we're a little worried about this.
Well, at his press conference, he, of course, was a huge mea culpa. He kept saying he was embarrassed, he's humiliated, he was blindsided, I'm not a bully. That's a bit like Nixon saying I'm not a crook, It didn't really win me over. But he also maintained his kind of combative style there,
right,
which played against the whole idea of contrition and humility. I mean, he was basically going to his handpicked reporters first, and when other reporters, probably national reporters, wanted to get in, he kept brushing them off and saying, that's not how we do business here, again, a bit of the old Tony Soprano there.
Yeah, no, this is authentic Chris Christie. I mean, he doesn't put that on. This is who the guy is. And for a long time, this has worked very well. I mean, people have actually liked the idea of a leader who really says what he means, and they feel that doesn't happen a lot in politics. When we've polled on Christie, particularly since after Hurricane Sandy, what pops out all the time are not words like bully. What pops out are strong leader and effective and trustworthy. The problem he really faces from a public opinion standpoint now is that, not only the actual actions that have happened here, but as you say, his way of addressing them can be very much at odds with what people have liked about him in this context. I would not be surprised at all the next time we go out and ask people about the traits that best describe Christie that bully doesn't pull up to the fore. You know, what you've got here is an office, at least, that, for partisan politics, because a mayor would not endorse him, took it out on the people of Fort Lee, New Jersey.
So in terms of, tying up traffic on the major entree into New York City, the George Washington Bridge, for this phony traffic study to punish the mayor of Fort Lee, who's where all the traffic was snarled for 4 days. And there is some possibility, is there not, that somebody died as a consequence? Is that likely to eventually come out and haunt him? They've been quick to say that it had no, there were no casualties, although obviously with 4 days of gridlock, there had to be problems. There's references to talking about school kids not getting to school, and one of Christie's aides saying, well, they're supporters of his Democratic opponent, so so screw them, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah, no, in fact, actually, the there are reports that at a minimum that emergency services were delayed 2 to 3 times longer than normal response times. There have been a few reports that there's one in particular that's been out that a woman later did die in the hospital, although nobody has made the claim it's because emergency services didn't reach her in time. But nonetheless, you know, I don't believe the story is over. Between subpoenas that are likely to be issued by the legislature, I would assume that Kelly is going to get subpoenaed, and whether or not she'll testify, you know, is an open question. But you know, it won't be over just because Christie held his press conference.
And what about the U.S. attorney in New Jersey, Paul Fishman, opening an inquiry? What more do we know about that?
Right now, we don't know anything more than the report that an inquiry has been opened. What we do know is that it was opened because the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which actually manages the bridge, they are the ones who run the bridge, that that's the request has come from the Port Authority, or I shouldn't say request, it was referred to the U.S. attorney from the Port Authority. But beyond that, we don't know much, and we may not know much. U.S. attorney offices are well known for not talking a whole lot about what they're doing.
So,
and to be honest, it's not clear to me that you could find a criminal activity in this, but at the same time, because it's interstate commerce, you know, it's a bigger issue than just in the state of New Jersey.
Well, you know, we here in Los Angeles have had a lot of complaints when President Obama comes to town because of the gridlock it creates.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and I'm sure, you know, the White House must be sensitive to the idea that, they're losing votes. So to do something like this deliberately, that's a whole other matter, isn't it?
Well, it is a whole other matter. I mean, it's a whole other matter partly because it does seem so petty, and it's so easily understood, certainly by commuters, but I think by anybody. The George Washington Bridge is the busiest river crossing in the country. It is a critical link into the city of New York, and to box it up like that has a tremendous impact on people's lives. And it may seem just like Fort Lee, New Jersey only, but it leads to the question of, you know, has Christie encouraged a culture in his staff that we might find problematic in a president?
Well, given the number of people involved in this and the closeness of him, I mean, David Wildstein is a high school friend of the governor's.
Right.
It's not like he can't say that, you know, suddenly this guy changed from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde, you know, overnight. I mean, Christie himself in his press conference said that we're like a family, we're close, you know, and he said it in the context of how much he feels betrayed. But you could interpret that another way. If you're that close a family, how come you didn't notice this petty partisan bent that they have?
I think a lot of observers in New Jersey are wondering the same thing. The administration has been famous for top-down control. It's been famous for riding herd over every Republican in the state, virtually. And you know, there are a lot of people who can't imagine how anything could happen in the administration without the governor being aware. Now, having said that, you know, there's no evidence at the moment that he is or that he was aware ahead of time. You know, from what I personally have been involved in political campaigns and from what I personally know about those kinds of things, you know, I can almost imagine somebody off on her own volition saying, hey, here's something we can do, and not necessarily bothering to tell her higher-ups. Again, I don't know the answer either way, but I can actually imagine it in the context of a political campaign.
So, David Redlaw, given now that, as I mentioned earlier, Chris Christie has been recently elected as the chairman of the Republican Governors Association, he is considered a front runner. And, of course, he would have to get past the right wing of the Republican Party, who dominate the primary process. And I don't know, maybe you could take a bet on that, but that's an uphill climb. But at this point, do you feel that he has basically, I mean, the idea in politics is when these scandals erupt, you got to hit them on the head and squelch them. Otherwise, it becomes whack-a-mole. And so what's your sense of whether or not he's decisively ended this?
I don't think it's decisively ended. The Democrats in New Jersey are going to be emboldened by this. They've been very weak in their response to Christie over the last 4 years. I think this changes everything. Secondly, you know, people still have to be asking themselves, okay, you know, this happened in September. He was asked about it soon after it happened. He made light of it. It doesn't appear that he made any effort to investigate what happened, at least not any, you know, he claims he was lied to, but certainly he could have, presumably people will think he could have done more. So in some sense, it's already been going on for a couple of months, just under the radar of the national media. You know, whether this is a fatal blow, I wouldn't go that far at this point. I think it's too soon to tell. But certainly those who oppose Christie are going to, even within the Republican Party, are going to grab onto this as hard as they can.
But just in closing again, though, how can you justify or rationalize a so-called traffic study that ties up the major artery into New York City between New Jersey and New York for 4 days, causing incredible gridlock and distress? Who in God's name would ever come up with a traffic study that did that? What are they studying?
Well, no, that, I think that's exactly the problem with this for the governor. He made light of it when it first came forward. He even said, well, you know, I was out there moving the cones. But that's the exact question he doesn't seem to have asked, or nobody else in his administration seems to have pressured anybody on, which is, why would you even be doing this? Now, understand, the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey is an independent agency. And if it had been the case that David Wildstein had done it on his own volition, you know, that would be a completely different story. But it's clearly not the case.
Well, David Redlaw, thank you so much for joining us here today.
You're welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with David Redlaw, who's a polling expert and professor of political science at Rutgers University. He's a co-author of Why Iowa, How Caucuses and Sequential Elections Improve the Presidential Nominating Process, and he directs the Rutgers Eagleton Poll. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Robert Gates's new controversial memoir.